Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Bobby Sylvester with a quick word from one of today's sponsors, Stamps.com. These days, you can get practically everything on demand, like our podcast, listen whenever you want, when it's convenient for you. So why are you going to the post office still, dealing with their limited hours when you can get postage on demand with Stamps.com? Folks, any single thing you can do at the post office, you can do right from your desk with Stamps.com. It's incredible. Buy and print office U.S. postage for any letter or package using your own computer and printer. And unlike the post office, Stamps.com never closes. So you can get your postage when you need it, 24/7. And I put more value into my time than anything. So since I started using Stamps.com, I've saved so much time. And I sincerely recommend this service to every single person listening. Just one trip prevented to long lines is well worth the cost, in my opinion. And right now, Fantasy Pros even has a special offer for you with a 4-week trial that includes postage and a digital scale. This offer is so great that they can do it because virtually everyone who takes advantage of the offer ends up realizing just how great the service is, and I'm sure you will too. So don't wait. Go to Stamps.com before you do anything else. Click in the radio microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Fantasy Pros. That's Stamps.com and enter Fantasy Pros. Stamps.com, never go to the post office again. All right, let's talk some football. Hey everyone, thanks for joining us for another episode of the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. We've got a waiver wire and news episode today. I'm Bobby Sylvester with Mike Tagliere, as always. More big injuries, man. We've got a lot to talk about today.
It is, you know, we were just talking before the show, and that if your team drafted a tight end early, you're not feeling so great this morning, because It seems like Travis Kelce is like the only one still alive.
Which is weird.
It is weird. Gronkowski, we always expect him to miss a game or two. So, I mean, if he misses the half a game or whatever it is that he, you know, the time that he missed during the end of that game, you're okay with it, because he obviously performed before he went out, but you hope it's nothing serious. They're saying it's nothing serious. So at the time, I guess that's really all you have to go off of.
Well, when you're up 20 points, why not shut down your star tight end? Anyway, today's guest has been consistently one of the most accurate experts, Justin Boone of thescore.com. You can find him on Twitter at Justin Boone. Justin, thanks for joining us.
I appreciate it, but it's dark times today after we lost so many tight ends. And we just started, and I just saw the news come across that Tyler Eifert is now uncertain for week 3 due to back and knee injuries. So there's another one down potentially.
So we talked about Gronk. Do you think he's going to be out a while, or was this just a nothing burger?
I mean, it seems all we can go off of is what we heard so far. And what we've heard is that it doesn't seem to be serious. Now, we know with Gronk and the Patriots, it's tough to get injury information out of them. So it wouldn't be shocking to see Gronk miss a little bit of time. But I think this is his, of all the injuries, seems like it might be the most minor, and we should get him back, if not next week, soon.
So, Tags, why don't you talk to us about some of these other tight end injuries, and we'll cover a few more injuries, then we'll jump right into the waiver wire this week.
Well, the Tyler Eifert one is interesting because, you know, if you watch that Thursday night game, some people seem to have missed it, but he definitely came out for a few snaps. He was laying on the sideline getting stretched out, which obviously is not a good sign for him because he's had back issues. So that's something to keep an eye on. But the biggest news from this weekend was Greg Olsen. Greg Olsen broke a bone in his foot and is going to be sidelined for at least 6 weeks. The Panthers have announced that they do expect him to come back at some point this year, hopefully after those 6 weeks. But as we've seen, guys, you know, when any player has a foot injury and you are a pass catcher that has to run a lot of routes, I wouldn't expect much from Greg Olsen. So if you can sell him, let's pretend that you own Greg Olsen. If you can sell him for anything useful at this point, I do so. Because, I mean, even when he comes back, Greg Olsen, over his last, I want to say, 9 games that he's played, he hasn't done really good. I want to say that he hasn't scored a single touchdown, and he was averaging fewer than 50 yards per game over that time. So Greg Olsen wasn't playing particularly well, and now with the broken foot, it's someone I'm avoiding. Are you guys on the other side of this where you think that maybe someone should go out and buy him, are you guys with me in that you should trade him if you can get something valuable that you can use over the next 6 weeks?
Well, I like that you said pretend that you own Greg Olsen, because I definitely own him in one league, so there's no pretending involved there. I'm not holding on. I totally agree with you. If anyone's willing to bite on that, I mean, we got word this morning now, 6 to 8 weeks. So it's going to be tough, I think, to trade him. And I think some people might even consider just outright dropping him, depending what your other options are. If you got another tight end later, if you were able to get, not that you would have drafted Olsen and Ertz or something like that, but if you do have another option, or if there's something on the waiver wire, and we'll talk about some of those guys later, I'm moving on from Olsen at this point.
Cam Newton has looked really bad. Even when Olsen comes back, like, what are we going to get? I know Cam Newton's dealing with that shoulder injury, and maybe it'll get better the entire season, but he was horrible last year, too. I know they say he's not going to get surgery, so he's not going on season-ending IR, but I'd be willing to bet he does end up on IR, which means that he misses 8 weeks. I'm not keeping a guy like that. Right now, my target, I have Greg Olsen in one league. The first trade offer I made was Greg Olsen for John Brown, because John Brown's hurt, too. Maybe someone's getting impatient with John Brown, but when he comes back, I think he's going to be fine and dandy. And Greg Olsen, maybe he doesn't play the rest of the season. We've seen that from times where these guys are supposed to be out 6 weeks and it just lingers the entire season, or they come back and, you know, you're starting them because they're Greg Olsen and then they're terrible. So I want him off my roster. And if no one bites, I'm just going to cut him loose.
Yeah, no, I agree with you guys. I mean, I would trade him right now for someone like Kobe Fleener. So that should tell you exactly where I'm at with Greg Olsen right now. Question, have you guys heard any updating news on Jordan Reed? I know he left the game. Justin, have you heard anything about Jordan Reed and his status for maybe the upcoming weeks?
I haven't. You know, going into the season, you know, if you were taking Reed, there's quite a bit of risk involved there. And the interesting thing there, and maybe someone will mention later, but the Redskins are a team who have another tight end that's interesting when Reed is out. And Vernon Davis is someone who could step in right away and put up some good fantasy numbers. So we'll have to wait for an update there on what I believe was a chest injury, I think, that as it was reported. But yeah, we're in limbo, and it shouldn't, no one that drafted Jordan Reed should be surprised that this happened, right? People who drafted Greg Olsen, Olsen has been, you know, he's playing nonstop. He barely misses any time. So those owners, I can understand being a little more upset today. If you drafted Reed, you knew the risk you were taking, and hopefully you planned for it by having Vernon Davis or maybe another backup tight end waiting in the wings.
Yeah, we're going to talk about some tight ends on the waiver wire today, but I'll tell you what, Jordan Reed, chest injury. He might have a broken foot that he's playing on, a hip injury that we didn't talk about much earlier in the year, and all these concussion problems. Like, what is going on with this dude?
Yeah, I just avoided. I don't own any Jordan. I own him. I take it back. In one of my many MFL 10s and my FFPC and FPPC and all this stuff, I own him in exactly one league. And it was a two tight end league that I got him in the fourth round. I couldn't pass on the value there. But
yeah,
my bold prediction was that he doesn't finish as a top 10 tight end this year just because he just always misses time. And even when on the field the last 2 weeks, he hasn't exactly produced like crazy. So it's just, yeah, man, if you can sell Jordan Reed for something right now, I suggest doing so.
Agreed.
So guys, you can find Tags and I on Twitter at Bobby Fantasy Pro and at Mike Teglier NFL. And I'm always out on Sundays at church, so I check my Twitter notifications on Monday morning, and guys, it was crazy. So we know Trevor Siemian's the number one fantasy quarterback right now, and JJ Nelson's the number two receiver, Chris Thompson, number five running back. Doesn't this tell us all we should know about reading too much into the first 2 weeks? I mean, I have people asking me on Twitter if they should cut Joe Mixon and if they should cut Terrell Pryor, and others have asked me if they should trade Le'Veon Bell for Kareem Hunt or Ty Montgomery. I mean, I know this doesn't go for our entire audience, but if you're one of these people panicking, like, please relax. Just look at our rest of the season rankings and don't destroy your teams by cutting Terrell Pryor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's overreaction time. And granted, this is the time of the year where I think we do need to overreact with some players because this is a new year and they may be using players in a different style. Like Tarik Cohen, people scoffed at the fact that I said spend 25% of your fab budget last week on him. They're like, oh, he's just a bit player. He did it 1 week. He looked really good again. He made a bonehead play, but Jordan Howard might miss some time. And Tarik Cohen, I did my rest of season rankings today. In standard leagues, I have him as a top 25 running back for the rest of the season. So it kind of tells you that we have to reevaluate things. And some players, you know, out there like Jermaine Kearse, he's someone that I can't necessarily believe in because how do you go from an offense with Russell Wilson and being bad, even though he was getting solid target shares, to playing with Josh McCown on a Jets team and all of a sudden you're good? Like, there's some things I don't exactly buy, but I do think this is a time in the year where maybe we should be more open to change, right, Justin?
I would agree. And taking some of those things that we maybe noticed in the preseason and then applying them, did it come true or did it not? And you mentioned Trevor Siemian, right? That's a great example. Mike McCoy returned there, you know, as the offensive coordinator. And, you know, I don't think Siemian is some elite talent or anything like that, but he got a lot of experience last year. Now he's got an upgraded offensive coordinator and it's showing. He's always had the weapons. So he's a guy that in, you know, in good matchups, we should feel very comfortable playing now. And yes, like, you know, someone like Jermaine Kearse, it's going to be very tough to trust him. It's tough to trust anyone on a team with, you know, bad quarterback play like that. But I do agree that while we don't want to just completely write off the first 2 weeks, but you have to make your calls. You have to decide, do I think Chris Carson is going to be the Seahawks running back going forward? Or do I think it's going to be a committee? Or do I think Thomas Rawls is eventually going to win that job back? You need to make your call. You need to be strong and believe in your gut. I always tell people when they ask me some of those crazy questions on Twitter, it's trust your gut. If you don't agree with the way I have the rankings, go with what you believe in. Maybe you are right.
I don't know, man. I don't think I can say that. Someone's asking if they should cut Joe Mixon. I cannot tell them. Like, yeah, go ahead, I guess, if you want to. I don't know.
Well, with that being said, you have to kind of look at things, right? Like you have to give a player a longer leash like Joe Mixon, because if you drafted him, you likely took him in the third or the fourth round, and you have to give him a longer leash, you know? And the fact that they fired their offensive coordinator is really big, because this could be a changing of the guard, because if you watch that Thursday night game, you could clearly see that Joe Mixon was the best talent in the field. I think we all knew this coming in. They just wanted to give Jeremy Hill every shot to win the job. He didn't. His snaps, you know, he's basically going to move down to the single digits. Gio Bernard is still going to be involved, but Joe Mixon, guys, don't overreact about this Bengals offense. And I know that we were big on Dalton prior to the season. He hasn't looked good. I'm not going to disguise anything. And there's sometimes that we're just wrong on calls, but I will say this. He has gone against two of the best defenses in the NFL, the Ravens and then the Texans. The schedule is lightening up. They're going to play some easier defenses. Granted, give him a week just to make sure. But I would argue that Andy Dalton should be considered a QB1 in this matchup against the Packers this week. So, I mean, don't run from these guys. Joe Mixon, don't cut him. I actually think he's a great buy in fantasy football right now. But yeah, no, I know we wanted to touch on some of this news. So I just strongly urge you guys, do not sell AJ Green. Buy Joe Mixon and
buy Sammy Watkins, too. I know I've been pumping him up all preseason, no. But I mean, he just went against Josh Norman. Like, everyone's thinking Sammy awful. Watkins is garbage, but he's good, man. He's caught every single target thrown his way.
Well, he is good.
I don't think he's going to get the work, though. I can't see it. I agree with Tags on the Bengals call, with the exception that I am still very worried about that offensive line, and I think Dalton will continue to struggle behind that offensive line, but AJ Green, Joe Mixon, those are still great guys to target or to hold on to if you already have them. Sammy Watkins, I just don't think he's going to see the use to make him a consistent fantasy option. I think he's going to be really, really boom or bust. And are there weeks coming where he's going to catch that 50-yard touchdown and have a blow-up week? For sure. But to trust him week in and week out, I have more faith in his teammate Cooper Kupp at this point to put up consistent fantasy numbers.
Wow.
I know, I agree with that 100%. Wow. I'm writing some buy sell holds right now. And guys, I'm telling you right now, if you take one thing away from this podcast outside of the waiver wire additions that we're going to talk about, take this. Todd Gurley played against the Colts and the Redskins, two of the worst teams against the run last year. They're playing the 49ers this week. Take your guys from this team on the Rams and say, sell. Your window is closing, because after this, they're going to go play the Cowboys in Dallas. Dallas. They're going to play the Seahawks, the Jaguars, the Cardinals, the Giants, the Texans, and then the Vikings. Like, this is a brutal stretch of schedule coming up after they play the 49ers. Granted, the Cowboys aren't great either, but at the same time, the schedule is going to get tougher. Sammy Watkins has a brutal schedule. Todd Gurley, I'm selling Rams right now.
Absolutely.
My one guy that I'm buying right now is Derrick Henry, and I know that he just had a big week, but I was watching that game, and DeMarco Murray, every single time he went down, he was struggling to get up. Like, I think there is something wrong with him, and he didn't look very good either. And Derrick Henry looked amazing. He looked like a freaking superstar. I mean, you forget this Jaguars defense was awesome in week one, and I know they went against the Texans and everything, but Derrick Henry was running them over. And I mean, like, watch the film. He was actually running people over. He looked amazing, guys.
I think it could be really hard to pry him away from whoever owns him at this point, though, because I think a lot of people, anyone that invested a, you know, a sixth, seventh round pick was waiting for the game that we just saw, was waiting for him to outplay Murray. And whether it's due to a hamstring injury or whatever's holding Murray back, he hasn't looked great this year. And there is a strong chance that Henry just steals this job from him. If it continues down this road, the Titans can't continue to trot Murray out there ahead of him and give Murray, you know, what he had in week one, which was like 75% of the touches. They're going to have to turn this backfield over to Henry and let him run wild, which he definitely can.
Yeah, I think this team could be a could have a bye in the AFC playoffs. So they really need to get going. And Derrick Henry, I think, is the catapult for that.
Yeah, DeMarco Murray over his last eight games, 426 rushing yards on 123 carries. That's 3.46 yards per carry. He scored one rushing touchdown in that time. Seriously, like I warned you guys before the season, 29-year-old running backs, that's when the decline starts. LeSean McCoy showed some signs of that this weekend too. So DeMarco Murray, I legitimately own zero shares outside of a dynasty league. So yes, I think Bobby's right though. And I know what you're saying, Justin, in that, you know, whoever invested in Derrick Henry is waiting for this, and that's why it's going to be hard. But I do know that some people were dropping Derrick Henry in their leagues because I was receiving, you know, tweets asking, do I drop Henry for this guy? Do I drop him for this guy? I'm like, don't drop Derrick Henry. Like
what were you expecting?
Yeah, he's a league winner. Like this is a guy that can win you a fantasy football league if you just hold on. There is not a better bench stash than Derrick Henry. So now it's already happening. And by the way, DeMarco Murray, they did say after the game that he's dealing, that hamstring injury was bothering him. So they're using that excuse. I think it's old age. It's catching up with them. Derrick Henry is the better running back at this point in their career. So
yeah,
we heard about this
carries.
Timeshare. Yeah, it's going to be kind of messy. I would prefer for DeMarco Murray to take some games off. That way we can get some clarity and just start Derrick Henry as an RB1 every week. Sure.
Okay, guys. So waiver wire. And Justin, you mentioned Chris Carson. What do you think about him? Is he the number one waiver wire pickup, or do you think it's going to be a split?
Oh, I want Chris Carson. I was big on Chris Carson before, but I didn't expect the rise to happen this quickly. I honestly thought last week, and I had it ranked this way, I thought Rawls was going to come back and get a big workload in week two and be the lead back. But I thought that eventually Rawls's injury history was going to be the problem, and then that would send him back to the sidelines, and then Carson would get his chance maybe, you know, a couple weeks from now. As it stands, I mean, Carson is the Seahawks lead back. We just saw it. Like, Pete Carroll turned it over to him. He's showing the ability to make plays behind that brutal offensive line. And that's something that I had talked about in the preseason, that, you know, why I was completely out on Eddie Lacy, which was when you're playing behind an atrocious offensive line like that, you need to be able to make people miss. You need to be able to, you know, be able to power through a tackle and pick up yards. And Carson has shown an ability to do both. Lacy wasn't able to do either, pretty much. And Pete Carroll's going to ride the hot hand, right? And I honestly think that Carson is my number one ad. I'm lucky to have him in a couple leagues. I mentioned I've liked him for a little while here, but I would spend big to get him. I wouldn't spend my entire budget necessarily, but he's a guy that I definitely want, and I would make a 60%, 70% bid to get him on my team.
Tags, you made fun of me for Chris Carson in the preseason, so I want you to take that back and tell me that
hold on.
I drafted him like every single best ball league, so I'm pumped about this.
Hold on a second. So I didn't make fun of you about Chris Carson. I made fun of the situation and the fact that I still don't want to own Chris. He's my number two waiver wire ad because he looks like he has the looks of a starting running back right now, but still.
The offensive line. Yeah, he's my number two because of the offensive line.
I have my reservations on this, yes, because Thomas Rawls is still going to be a part of it. He may receive the short yardage work, as Justin mentioned. season. He was coming back from a high ankle sprain. They eased him into this game. But Chris Carson looks good. I'm not taking that away from him. But he's not receiving any passing down work. CJ Procise is going to be getting that. Rawls is going to be mixed in a little bit on downs one and two. Eddie Lacy looks like he's going to be inactive, which is great because that clears up things a little bit. It makes things a little bit clearer. But when you're playing behind an offensive line like this, you're going to be extremely inconsistent. You know, he just walked away from a game in which he received 21 touches against a 49ers defense, and he posted 10 standard points, 11 PPR. So it's not like he went, you know, out of this world. It's just, I think that there's limited upside in a team like Seattle, and I think you're going to see some inconsistencies like we saw with Thomas Rawls last year. And again, it's not a knock on Chris Carson. I don't think Le'Veon Bell would succeed behind this offensive line. I think he would need to be used in the passing game. So the fact that Carson's not really being used there, that's my concern on him, and that's why I would take Samaje Perine as my number one waiver wire add. You know,
me too.
We've been talking this, you know, the entire offseason. We said he's going to take the job at some point. It's just a matter of when. We didn't think that Rob Kelly was going to come down with an injury, and, you know, things happen. They used Samaje Perine in a workhorse role once he went down.
21 carries, baby.
Yeah, and it was against the Rams, granted, with Aaron Donald back there, so it clogged the middle up a little bit. And by the way, Robert Kelly was having one of his best games that he's had in quite some time. But Samaje Perine, he's like a young Michael Turner. I'm not saying that he's going to be as talented as Turner or if he's going to have as great a career as Turner did. But
great comp, though.
I see a great 1-2 down back, some guy that can be a bowling ball. He can get work on the goal line. He can catch the ball out of the backfield better than people think. So for him, I just think the ceiling's better in a better offense overall in terms of, you know, what they can do for their running back and not as much competition. I think it's him and Chris Thompson. They're sharing some work, and Chris Thompson never gets more than, you know, 5-6 carries a game. So Justin, I'm curious to hear what your take is on Samaje Perine.
I'm really interested in your take there. That was a very surprising one to me because I haven't seen anything from Perine that makes me want to own him other than more than a stash. I get that he's going to step in now and he's going to take that role from Rob Kelly. But going through August, Perine was one of the more disappointing players in the preseason. We just haven't seen him do anything. And even in this game, when he got in there, he got a ton of carries. Great, but he didn't do much with it. And I think we've seen that Chris Thompson is the more big play back there. And, you know, it's strange to see two guys on one team get mentioned as waiver wire pickups in the same week in the same backfield. But I think that's what we have here because I am fine with people, if Perine is out there, absolutely go get him. But I like Thompson. And, you know, on Jake Seeley's Rankings Reveal show last week, I mentioned Thompson as a player that I like the rest of the way. I think, you know, his opportunity is going to grow with Kelly out, in my opinion. And I think we've seen that he's much more of a threat to turn big plays. He's going to get a lot of receiving work, and the Redskins aren't a great team, in my opinion. And I think that they're going to be trailing quite a bit, and they are going to need Chris Thompson maybe more than they're going to need, the grinder back, whether it's Perine or Kelly when he returns. And I also think that I'm not sold that Perine's going to be able to keep this job. I think when Kelly gets back, they might just go back to him. So I'm surprised that you have him as number one. He's a player that I definitely would like to pick up, but not something that, you know, not someone that I'm going to go out of my way to get, because I think there's a chance that Thompson could out-snap Perine even.
Wow. I'm big time with tags on this one. It's really not very close for me. Like, I like Chris Carson. Like I said, I own him in a lot of best ball leagues and everything, but I just don't know if he's going to get the touches. And it's interesting. We're saying the same things back and forth. Like, Justin doesn't think Perine's going to get the touches, but, you know, Carson is competing behind that horrible offensive line. I'd spend $12 to $20 on Carson. I know that's not going to get him, but for Perine, I'd spend $50, $55. I just think if we know Perine has the job, I would rather have him than Mike Gillisley and Isaiah Crowell. I think he's a better running back in a very, very good offense. I think he's going to get all the goal line touches, and I think he's the best running back in this backfield. I mean, we've watched him in the preseason. I know the stats weren't there, but if you watch the film, Perine was really, really good. I love the Michael Turner comparison.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's funny, Justin. I actually like Chris Thompson, too, and I was on the SiriusXM show last Wednesday, and they were asking me about Tarik Cohen and guys like Buck Allen. I was like, guys, if you miss guys like that, don't go off the deep end and spend half your budget on them.
Yeah, because there's always a Chris Thompson out there.
That's exactly what I said. I said, you know, instead, somebody that you're getting for a dollar, you can get him for 1% of your fab. Grab Chris Thompson because he's a guy that finished as a top 36 running back last year, but nobody wants to talk about that. And that was in standard leagues, guys. In PPR, he's got more value. Terrell Pryor looks not very good. I don't really know how else to put this. Terrell Pryor just hasn't looked like a good football player since he's been playing with the Redskins, outside of practice, of course, where, you know, he's snagging one-handed balls. But Chris Thompson looks like the real deal again. I never understood why they didn't give him more carries. I do think it's a good 1-2 punch between him and P. Ryan. I have another player, Bobby, that I would love to talk about here.
Before we talk about him, I was so lucky to be one of the guys who used Chris Thompson in my DraftKings lineup this week. It was beautiful. The only problem was I went with Aaron Rodgers instead of Tom Brady. I used Tom Brady in a lot of lineups, but in the ones where I used Chris Thompson, for whatever reason, I went with Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, he was all right in garbage time, but Tom Brady was the guy to own. So fantasy football season, guys, it's begun, and it's not too late to get closer to the game you love with DraftKings 1 Week Fantasy Football. This Sunday, DraftKings is hosting a $100,000 Pick'em contest that's totally free to enter. Pick'em's the new way to play 1 Week Fantasy Football. Drafting your team is faster than ever, and DraftKings has organized players into 8 tiers. All you have to do is choose one player from each tier. And the best part is, you get to draft a new team each week without any commitment. So next week, I can go out and get the Chris Thompson, whoever it's going to be next week, and hopefully I can pair him with the right quarterback this time so I can win some big money. And all you have to do is use the promo code FANTASYPROS to play DraftKings' free contest with $100,000 in total guaranteed prizes this Sunday. That's promo code FANTASYPROS to compete for your share of $100,000 in total prizes. It's free, so why wouldn't you try? That's DraftKings.com, code FANTASYPROS. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Okay, Tag, so who's your other guy, man?
All right, the other one I want to talk about, because while we're on the running backs, I want to stay here and talk about Deonta Foreman. If you guys, as we talked about with Joe Mixon, if you watch the game, you could see that Mixon's clearly the most talented back. Deonta Foreman is better at carrying the football than Lamar Miller. You can only be so mediocre for so long as a starting running back in the league and continue to get, you know, 16 to 20 carries a game. Lamar Miller has kind of used up his leash. And, you know, Alfred Blue's been out of the lineup. Deonta Foreman saw just 2 snaps in the opener, but then in week 2, they gave him 17 snaps. So obviously they gave him a bigger workload. I know that the stat sheet looks very similar to Lamar Miller, but if you watch that game, you could see Foreman was used in some short yardage situations that are obviously going to lower his yards per carry. But Foreman just looks better. Justin,
he looked good, man.
Yeah, do you like this take on Foreman?
Love it. Love it. I would like to make a plea right now to the Texans coaching staff. Just turn it over to Foreman. Some of these guys, when they get in there, they flash, right? We mentioned about Chris Carson earlier. He gets in there and he flashes the talent. Foreman, did he ever flash the talent on Thursday night? So I'm worried, though, that it's going to take an injury to Miller, which definitely could happen, before Foreman gets the workload that he needs. But if that happens and Foreman gets the starting role there, he's an immediate fantasy starter and could be a great player moving forward. Someone that I would want in keeper leagues, someone I want everywhere. I definitely agree with you there, Tags.
Yeah, I've got Foreman as my number 4 running back, and I've got to admit, I was wrong about Foreman. He looks really good in the preseason. I was not buying it whatsoever. I remember, you know, thinking, man, Sean Corner's right about everything, but he's wrong on this one. Foreman's just not very good. And Foreman, he looks really good. So I've got him as my number 4 running back pickup here. And I've got him behind Chris Thompson. I mean, I do love Pirine, but I like Chris Thompson as well. Where do you have the two, Justin? Do you have Foreman or do you have Carson, Chris Carson ahead?
Oh, no, I have Carson ahead. I think Carson, like, because he has the role right now, I have Carson ahead. And I mean, Foreman is a guy who's a little bit further down for me. I would probably even still take Pirine over Foreman, Thompson over Foreman, but Foreman's a guy that he's someone that I'm looking at as more of a high end stash. You know, we mentioned the people
that
grabbed Derrick Henry or drafted Derrick Henry, sitting on him as a guy that if he gets in there, we're looking at RB2, maybe even low end RB1 kind of numbers. I think that's what Foreman brings to the table. I mean, I'm not saying that he is Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry's going to be a monster, but Foreman could be a great, great fantasy player if he gets that opportunity.
Yeah, well, Derrick Henry's behind a great offensive line. Andy's got a really good quarterback. Foreman has neither of those, but he looks pretty good. Yeah.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, I think it depends on where your team's at, right? If you need an every week starter, Chris Thompson's your guy. If you want a bench stash that can potentially be a league winner, I think Deonta Foreman is the one that I would go with. So I have Deonta Foreman just one spot higher in my waiver wire rankings. But one player I want to compare between us here, Alvin Kamara and Chris Thompson. If you could choose one of them today, let's pretend that you don't need them right now. You have your spot solidified. You're just looking for someone to stash on your bench that could, you know, be great for your team. If you needed to, you know, whether it be an injury or you just wanted to play someone else. Kamara or Thompson?
I'm taking Thompson. I know Thompson's a better 1 week start, but if we're talking rest of the season, I still want Thompson. And the reason why, I think he has a better route to get most of the carries in his offense. I know Kamara's been, you know, splitting three ways with AP and Mark Ingram and everything, but like, what are the actual chances that he's going to become the number one running back with AP and Mark Ingram there? I just think it's low. Chris Thompson, we've seen him run the ball really well for 3 years now. I know he wasn't as good last year, but 2 years ago, he was awesome. I can see Chris Thompson ending up the starting running back. I can't see that with Kamara. What do you think, Justin?
If you don't need them now, and that's how the question was phrased, then I am going with Kamara. He has the higher upside. You know, you're still going to get some rookie mistakes from him. But if the Saints are smart, and I think when I joined you guys in the preseason, we talked about whether the Bengals were going to be smart and we're going to give Mixon the workload, which hopefully now after the coaching change, they will. If the Saints are smart, they're going to turn to a two-man backfield, and it's going to be Ingram and Kamara, who are both capable runners and receivers, and that's going to allow them to disguise a whole bunch of things. Part of the problem with Peterson is he's not that great of a pass catcher, in my opinion, so it makes him too one-dimensional, and I think Peterson's time as a fantasy star and maybe even as a, you know, an NFL running back is over at this point. I know some people still have some strong feelings that he's still, you know, putting some good things on tape, even though he's not producing, but if I'm the Saints, I'm turning to Ingram, I'm turning to Kamara, and, you know, with running backs, we always talk about the injuries, the higher chance of injury. If Kamara somehow gets that number one job, he can run away with it. He is making plays on limited touches. He had that great 39-yard catch on the weekend. He's a guy that is an excellent bench stash at this point. And his upside, the reason that I'm going to take him over a Chris Thompson, if I'm in that situation, is his upside is higher than Thompson. I just don't ever see Thompson cracking, you know, that RB1 numbers or top 10 kind of fantasy numbers. Whereas Kamara is a great runner, is a great receiver, and could do that.
Killer offense too. Yeah, it's a good ceiling.
Yeah, you know, he was someone coming out of college. I comped to Jamaal Charles, and, you know, that's a massive ceiling, but I'm talking about the type of player that he is, and that's why I think that this offense is designed perfectly for Kamara. And, you know, if you look at the touch difference between him, actually, I shouldn't say touch, I should say targets plus carries, because that's total, basically, opportunity that they're getting. Kamara has, it's 19 opportunities, whereas Ingram has 24, so it's not crazy. And Adrian Peterson hasn't done much with the carries. It seems, you know, after playing 9 snaps in the opener, and that was a big story, he played just 15 snaps this weekend. You know, if the Saints are getting are in a go back and forth game, Adrian Peterson's not going to see the field very much, and that's going to be a lot of the time, because if you look at the Saints defense, it's pathetic. Kamara does have some hiccups. He dropped 2 passes this weekend, so, you know, there is going to be some growing pains with him. But this is a Saints team that kind of has, they have to go through this period. And can we take a pause just for a second and just say, is it possible that Drew Brees says, I don't want to re-up with the Saints and goes elsewhere next year? Like, let's say that, can we just
Jaguars,
dream?
Please.
I was about to say, can we dream for a second? I brought this up this weekend. Can he go to the Jaguars? Is that possible?
Oh, man. That you're making me way too excited.
It would be amazing. I mean, if the NFL offseason wants to rival the NBA offseason, which has been way more entertaining than the NFL offseason in recent years, it's having things like that happen would help them do it for sure.
They should just trade him right now, man. It just needs to happen.
I mean, for real, like Drew Brees, like I would love to see him have a shot at a Super Bowl, and he's not going to get it in New Orleans before he reaches that cliff, you know? So he's got one more contract, and I thought about that while watching the game, and I was like, man, the Saints team is just so bad.
Yeah, if I'm the Saints, I put Adrian Peterson out there and I run the ball with him 20 times. I give him 1 week and I say, you compete for your career right now, because he has the highest ceiling of any of these guys. If he goes out there, he rushes for 120 yards and we get the Adrian Peterson that always rushes for 1,200, 1,400 yards and 12 touchdowns, I mean, then the Saints have gold there. They got to find out, in my opinion.
Yeah, the only thing is I just don't think he's made for this offense, and it was a concern coming in, and I was hoping he would get the goal line carries. They just haven't had enough goal line work at this point, but, you know, he just doesn't catch passes. That's why I don't think he's on the field very much.
Yeah.
And flipping it back to Kamara real quick, I'm just going to say on Kamara that if Kamara had ended up on another team, if Kamara had ended up on the Vikings instead of a Dalvin Cook or something, we might be talking about him as a fantasy starter right now. He has that kind of talent.
Yeah. Okay, guys, let's move on over to wide receiver, and my top guy is Jermaine Kearse, and I feel like I need a shower after saying that. He's just not very good, but he's getting all of the opportunities there, and he's proven himself. So, I mean, I'm not saying I'm going to spend 10 fab bucks on him or anything like that, but He's my number three pickup this week because, you know, sometimes you just need a wide receiver and I'd feel comfortable plugging him into the flex. Who's your number one guy, Justin?
I have JJ Nelson.
Yeah.
I was lucky enough to get him in at least one league and start him last week in a flex spot where I needed somebody. And, you know, first off, we talked about John Brown a little bit earlier. I think we got to pour a little bit out for John Brown. Tags, I know he's a guy that you loved in the preseason. You know, I did before the season as well. But it's getting impossible to trust him in fantasy. And, you know, I'm sure that there's going to be some big games coming down the road when he does get healthy and back on the field. But I'm not going to talk anyone out of dropping John Brown at this point. And Nelson had another monster game, you know, 120 yards and a touchdown. And when he's got in there, when John Brown was out, he's performed really, really well. He even had another touchdown, a second touchdown called back in the game because he wasn't able to stay in bounds. So, you know, if you have to take the matchup into account. They played the Colts. The Colts defense is banged up and, you know, bad to begin with. But Nelson gets another plum matchup next week against the Cowboys secondary, which isn't that great. And they're pretty good at stopping the run, but not the pass. And we saw that with Trevor Siemian on the weekend. So, you know, when it comes to my wide receiver three, I want, you know, unless I have a rock solid option, I normally want someone with a really high ceiling. And Nelson showed that he has that. And he's capable of delivering a monster day against weaker opponents.
I just don't know, like, you can't really trust him week to week to get targets, in my opinion, especially when John Brown's back. That's why I've got him number three for my wide receivers tags. Where do you have Nelson?
I have Nelson at number one, and the only reason I have him at number one is because I think John Brown hits the IR. And it's really sad. It's really sad for me to say it. It's a very dark situation that I don't get good vibes from it. This is an injury that goes back to the start of training camp, and quad injuries don't last that long. I'm sorry. It's not. And, you know, he played a lot of snaps in week one. He was ineffective. And I think that's why they ultimately decided that, you know, we're going to let him sit this one out. It's just sounding like IR is more and more a possibility. This team is going nowhere in a hurry. And JJ Nelson, if you go back to the time where John Brown saw limited snaps last year, JJ Nelson, as much as I don't love the player, I can't deny the production, right? It's not just like a two-game sample where like a guy like Jermaine Kearse. We're talking about, I think it's over the last eight regular season NFL games, JJ Nelson is like a top 12 wide receiver in fantasy, which is just crazy to me, right? Like, I'm not paying a whole bunch to get him. I don't think the waiver wire is a great place for wide receivers. Like, Jermaine Kearse, I have down at number eight, so I obviously don't Whoa. Want Jermaine Kearse.
Okay.
I would rather take someone like Geronimo Allison, and that's a player I want to take a second on. Just because most people out there are going to go for guys like JJ Nelson, they're going to go for Marquise Lee, Devin Funchess, Jermaine Kearse. But one name, you know, it's very rare we can find a receiver on the waiver wire that walks in and is like an every week start, right? That's like almost impossible to find at this time. Geronimo Allison is that player where if Jordy Nelson misses time, Randall Cobb is getting an MRI done today. If he is the number two wide receiver opposite Devontae Adams, Geronimo Allison is an every week start, like a must.
Yeah, not
start.
Even close either. Like, he's a wide receiver two every week, maybe wide receiver one.
Yep, he could be. He could very well be better than Devontae Adams. We don't know that. But Allison, that's what I'm saying, is just like, it really, when we talk about these waiver wire additions, it depends on your team and the makeup of it, right? Where if you're just looking for someone to stash as a potential upside, which is how I like to organize my benches, because, I mean, what good is Frank Gore or LeGarrette Blount going to do on your bench? That's why I didn't advocate to draft those guys. So instead, grab someone like Allison, who could be a potential league winner, like Derrick Henry. A potential league winner. Justin, where are you at on Geronimo Allison? Are you feeling the vibes I'm putting out here?
I'm really hoping that Nelson and Cobb aren't going to miss time. Yeah. I hold those guys in a couple spots. So, but yeah, I think Allison is a great, great option. And when you talk about receiver, there aren't that many, you know, you don't want to say, you know, handcuff receivers, but there's not that many guys out there that are like that. And, you know, somebody else, I think Allison's a great option. Somebody else I look at like that is Mohamed Sanu. I think, you know, he's likely going that, you know, he's owned, I think, in 16% of leagues or something like that. And that number's going to rise after he had 85 yards on Sunday Night Football in a primetime game. But Sanu isn't a player that I would rush out to get thinking that, you know, you're going to start him right away. It's the same kind of thing as Allison. He's more of a handcuff or a lottery ticket in my mind that if Julio Jones goes down, you know, knock on wood, hopefully that doesn't happen either. But if it does, Sanu has that wide receiver two upside to all of a sudden explode and become a fantasy starter. So, you know, with Taylor Gabriel just being a gadget player, Austin Hooper's not really getting that much volume to be trusted. You know, I think Sanu, Allison, those are pretty good guys to get on the wire as opposed to, and no offense, Bobby, but a Jermaine Kearse, where I'm just never going to trust him in my lineup week to week.
No offense taken, man. I mean, I told you, it's disgusting. He's just not a very good NFL player, but I can't argue with the chances. And another guy like that, Devin Funchess. I mean, I think he has more talent than Jermaine Kearse, but now with Greg Olsen out, Funchess was really good this week. I've got Funchess as my number two. I think he's a big red zone threat. In fact, I've had him on a couple of my teams already throughout the season. And ahead of Geronimo Allison, my number three wide receiver, and again, Rashard Higgins just signed off the practice squad. I never thought I would say that he's a pickup, but 12 targets, it's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, he had a much bigger role than I think anybody expected. Kenny Britt, by the way, stop.
Flop. Total just, flop.
Just seriously, stop playing football. You know, there was some questionable things this weekend watching Kenny Britt, and he just doesn't look like he's very into it. And not that I can blame him, because DeShone Kizer, he just yells at people, man. That kid, he has some serious cojones.
Well, he had a bad headache, man. He had a bad headache, so he had to stop playing. So,
no, but he walks around the field like he's Tom Brady, like yelling at players, man. Like he's a veteran. Like, you don't have that yet, buddy. Like, you need to slow your roll, like, understand who you are right now, because you just threw three
interceptions. Kenny Britt's been in the league for 7 or 8 years, yeah. And this 21-year-old kid is yelling at him.
By the way, why is Kendall Wright so low on your list? Because you started going through your list, and Kendall Wright is a guy, the first week without Kevin White, he got into two wide receiver sets. He saw 10 targets, 7 catches for 69 yards. I don't think he's going to be a league winner, like potentially like someone like Geronimo Allison could be. But I think Kendall Wright is like an every week wide receiver 4, and maybe like even a wide receiver 3 in PPR formats. Like, just like someone who maybe doesn't have the greatest upside. But if Trubisky ever takes over, Kendall Wright's stock goes up even further. So, I mean, I'm saying his floor is like wide receiver 4 territory with the targets he's getting.
Man, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if you've seen my list, but I have him a lot lower than that. I've got Tyler Lockett in his upside ahead of him. Brandon Coleman, who looked pretty good. I mean, I know that they're getting, what's his name, back here soon. I'm Willie total Sneed. Brain fart right now. Yeah, Willie. I know they're getting Willie Snead back, but Brandon Coleman looked good. Marquise Lee I've got ahead of him. Even Allen Hurns ahead of him with Blake Bortles and all his garbage time. Allen Hurns had a big week. So, yeah, I've got Kendall Wright. What is it, my number 8 wide receiver this week?
Justin, I'm throwing up in my keyboard. Can you please tell Bobby that he's wrong here?
I'm also not that big on Kendall Wright.
Yeah,
that offense, that passing game, no thank you. We mentioned the Jets earlier, and we're, you know, if we're going to get crazy and say that we don't really want Jermaine Kearse, then I don't know how you can trust Wright either with that passing game. Mike Glennon seems to prefer to throw it to the other team more than he prefers to throw it to his team. And yes, Trubisky, you know, when he comes in, it could get better. It could also get worse. He's a rookie. We don't know. And you tend to see, you know, I would like to see when Trubisky gets in there, who is he throwing to? Because there's no guarantee that he's going to, you know, treat Kendall Wright as his guy. Maybe he'll latch on to somebody else. So Kendall Wright, also someone that I'm not really interested in. I would much rather grab, you know, a Funchess, a Higgins, you know, an Allison, like you mentioned before. I think Higgins is somebody that's really, really interesting, actually. I'm curious to see. I think I was maybe the only analyst that actually ranked him last week, and I'm not saying that to boast whatsoever.
You did?
Whatsoever.
Wow, you're seriously really smart, man. How did you do that?
I promise you, he was my last ranked receiver, like 150th or something like that. I merely put him in after I saw he got promoted from the practice squad and figured, you know, maybe he'll get a catch, right? Definitely didn't expect 11 targets and 95 yards and the huge day he had. But with Corey Coleman now set to miss time, Kenny Britt, as you mentioned, you know, not somebody that you want to be starting in fantasy and not somebody that the Browns seem interested in featuring. Higgins is a guy that there's a chance here that he could pop up and now become their number one. So, you know, it's crazy that he, you know, did the whole outhouse to the penthouse thing in a matter of a couple of days, you know, promoted from the practice squad all the way to potentially being the number one moving forward. But Kizer is willing to take shots. He's got that bravado, and it's a small sample size, but, you know, Higgins has shown that he might be fantasy relevant moving forward now.
That's awesome. That is so awesome. All right, Tags, who else do you have, man? Like, what do you think about these guys that we just briefly mentioned? Tyler Lockett, Marquise Lee, and I won't even say Allen Hurns, because that made you feel upset to your stomach.
Tyler Lockett, I actually have at number 3. So he's a player that I'm interested in. And the reason I am is you're seeing his snap count increase. He's part of a top 10 scoring offense. Traditionally, basically, the Seahawks are always top 10 scoring. So you want a piece of that. Paul Richardson, if you guys didn't hear, he broke a bone on his finger. It was his, I want to say it was his middle or ring finger in the middle of the game last week. And the bone was protruding through the skin. He had it taped up, and he came back to score the game-winning touchdown. Now, granted, I like Paul Richardson, but and I can appreciate what he did, but that can affect you going forward, and it may just be enough for Tyler Lockett to get on the field in two wide receiver sets. So he's a game breaker. He's kind of like in that J.J. Nelson conversation where it's like you have to live with the ups and downs. You're not going to consistently get performances in a PPR format like you will with maybe like a Kendall Wright, but at the same time, you're going to have higher upside than you do with a player like Kendall Wright. So it all depends on what you're looking for, how deep your league is. Marquise Lee, he's one of those guys where I just don't know if I'm ever going to trust him in my lineup. You know, I don't trust.
Yeah, he's like a wide receiver number five every week.
Yeah, pretty much. And that's, I hate picking out guys like that because
he's all right for depth. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why I'm saying like Jermaine Kearse, those guys just don't fit in there. Kenny Stills is part of that high upside conversation, because if Devontae Parker is seeing a tough matchup, Kenny Stills can deliver. And that kind of happened. He scored a touchdown this week. So, I mean, it's a bunch of like hit and miss guys. Devin Funchess is one that I definitely would keep an eye on. You know, we talked about in this offseason, I felt like he was being undervalued. Now with Greg Olsen out, with Kelvin Benjamin, he had to leave the game for a little bit. Devin Funchess leads the wide receivers in snaps. So if Cam Newton can start to string together some passes, Devin Funchess could turn out to be a solid pickup and someone that you could use in a pinch.
Definitely agree with the take on Funchess there. And the only one, you briefly mentioned him, Bobby, but for some reason, Willie Snead is available in, you know, around 30% of leagues out there. So if he is on the waiver wire, we'll see his name pop up before he comes back from suspension. But he's a guy that should be owned everywhere, in my opinion.
Yeah. All right, guys, let's move on over to tight end. And Justin, you mentioned Vernon Davis earlier. Is he your top tight end pickup of the week?
Well, it depends what your cutoff is. Like, I think there's a couple guys that are worth mentioning, because tight end's a position that a lot of people don't necessarily take backups, right? So you might have some guys out on your waiver wire who, you know, might be owned in quite a bit of leagues, but they might be available. So, and I looked around at some of my leagues and a couple of these guys are out there. So, you know, Jason Witten is owned in 66% of Yahoo leagues. So, you know, we talked in the preseason about how tough Dez Bryant's, you know, cornerback matchups are, and, you know, the Cowboys don't really have many other reliable options, with all apologies to Cole Beasley and Terrence Williams. They haven't really jumped off the page. So,
yeah.
You know, Dak has no choice but to target Witten in those situations. And his numbers through 2 weeks have been fantastic. He's caught 17 of 22 targets and, you know, 156 yards and a couple of touchdowns. So
number one tight end in fantasy football.
Yeah, exactly. So if he's out there, Witten is a guy that I would grab. Not super exciting, but he's a guy that can definitely deliver. Another guy I highly own but might be out there is Jack Doyle, coming off a big game and a tough matchup against the Cardinals, who are normally pretty good against tight ends. Looks like Jacoby Brissett's willing to throw him the ball, which is something Scott Tolzien wasn't, or at least didn't seem like he was going to. And, you know, we know that his value will get a huge boost when Andrew Luck returns. Hopefully that is when and not if Andrew Luck returns. But either way, I think Doyle is a guy that should be owned in more spots than just 64% of leagues, which he's out there in now. If those guys are gone, and I feel like, you know, those are big ownership percentages, so they might be. I'm going after Ben Watson, actually. He's available in pretty much every league right now. We were waiting to see who would emerge from that Ravens tight end core. You know, there were some reports in the preseason, maybe Nick Boyle would be the guy. Max Williams is still kicking around there. But it seems like Watson has emerged now. You know, after being held without a catch in week one, he caught all eight of his targets this week and had over 90 yards. And the Ravens like to use their tight ends, and they need someone to step up there. And it appears like Watson is going to be that guy. So if you're looking for a 1 week streamer, I wouldn't recommend Watson, because, you know, they're going to face the Jaguars in London. The Jags are pretty good against the tight end. But if you're looking forward and you need a guy to fill long term for a Greg Olsen or something like that, Watson's a guy that I'd be grabbing.
Yeah, I really like Boyle and Max Williams. And I just thought whoever ends up being the tight end here is someone worth owning. We saw Dennis Pitta get a ton of targets last year, and he's less than mediocre. So Joe Flacco just makes tight ends fantasy relevant. So it is Ben Watson. He's my number two behind Austin Seferian Jenkins. And, you know, I don't own two tight ends, but right now I'm willing to pick up Seferian Jenkins just in case he explodes. He has the talent to be a top six tight end in football. I'm not saying he's going to be. I'm not saying he's going to be in this offense, but I want him just in case he blows up, because he's the one guy on the waiver wire that I think could blow up.
Seferian Jenkins was someone that I was open to talking about in the offseason with the new offensive coordinator and everything, but with the way that the Jets are running this team, I don't want any part of it. That's the
dude, they're throwing like 50 balls to, what's his name, Jermaine Kearse. Like, you don't think someone as talented as Seferian Jenkins could come in and get 10 targets?
Well, Bilal Powell's not getting snaps, so I really don't trust anything.
Yeah, they are stupid. You're right.
I don't trust anything with this organization. I want no part of the Jets, like, at all. Like, zero portion.
Are we sure that they want to win? Are we actually sure the Jets are trying to run?
I'm with you. This is, like, legitimate.
Yeah, yeah. They're making some of these decisions to lose.
Legitimately. I think my number one pickup... It's funny. Ben Watson is someone... Him and Zach Miller are my two top options. I think I'd prefer Zach Miller because he's emerging as the option, whereas Deion Sims is the run-blocking tight end, and they're having Zach Miller go out there as the pass catcher. The Bears are so limited at wide receiver that they need Zach Miller to be something.
Yeah.
And last year, before he was hurt last year, he was a top 12 tight end. So the year before that, he was solid. So Zach Miller is someone I do like. In regards to Ben Watson, here's my concern. Nick Boyle has played 87 snaps, whereas Ben Watson has played 89. So it's somewhat of a timeshare. Watson has ran more routes than Nick Boyle has. So it's definitely in Watson's favor. But I do see this as somewhat of a timeshare at tight end. They're going to involve Buck Allen a little bit more. You know, it's just the matchup against the Browns was so good. Like, seriously, if you ever want to stream tight ends, just find the one who's playing the Browns and start them. I kid you not. I was going through my notes this weekend for my primer piece, and dating back to last year, there have been 10 tight ends over the last 18 games who have scored 17 or more PPR points. Like,
man,
what?
That is incredible. That is seriously really incredible.
It's ridiculous is what it is. And the Browns are just bad against tight ends. And now they might be without Jamie Collins, who got a concussion. And he's like their best linebacker. So,
yeah,
Zach Miller is my number one. Watson's number two. Safarian Jenkins is three, but I won't add him.
So, guys, let's move on over to defense special teams for streaming, because I know like probably 80% of the listeners do this streaming virtually every single week. We've got Green Bay going up against Cincinnati, who has no offensive line, as we've mentioned. We've got Indianapolis, the horrible defense, going up against Cleveland, but it's Cleveland, and we saw what happened with them last week. Philadelphia against Eli Manning, and I don't even want to say how bad he is because I'll get blasted on Twitter again. But my favorite's Miami at the New York Jets. I think Miami has a really good defense. Not really good. I think they have a top 15 defense. They have a really good run defense, and they've improved the rest of their defense quite a bit in the offseason. So I think this one's a gimme. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, the Dolphins against the Jets, I think we've really taken shots at the Jets this whole podcast, so I think it's not surprising that we're going to pick the defense to go against them. So I think that's an obvious one. Target whoever's going against the Jets every week, and the Dolphins are lucky enough to do it this week. I think another one that's kind of interesting is the Buccaneers, actually. I don't know why they're not getting any respect dating back to last year. In the second half of last year, the Bucs were one of the best defenses out there in fantasy as well. So, you know, they're going up against the Vikings this week. We're not sure if Bradford's going to be able to play, and if Bradford is able to play, you know, he might be limited. He might not have the mobility. It might slow him down a little bit and slow the whole offense down a little bit. And let's just remember, it's still Sam Bradford, right? Like, he's not, we're not talking about Drew Brees or Tom Brady or something there. So
yeah.
I think the Bucs against the Vikings is one that people might not jump at because of the success the Vikings had in week one. But the Bucs are a great defense, and a defense that I think you can just own and roll with most weeks.
I like
that
one.
Yeah, and as long as Gerald McCoy is playing, they're a solid run defense too. Like, with him out of the lineup over the last couple of years, they've really struggled. But when he's playing, they're definitely a solid defense.
And he's one of the best.
Yeah, that's a great call. But, you know, I definitely my top option is the Dolphins. With Cameron Wake and Ndamukong Suh coming after Josh McCown is going to be potentially hilarious. But going over, if you want to look at a contrarian play to all this, is that the Jaguars are going to be dropped in a lot of leagues. The people are going to drop the Jaguars. Honestly, I looked already. They're already under 50% owned. They're going to be dropped even more after their performance against the Titans, which it's a weird
performance. I mean, Blake Bortles threw two tipped interceptions. He had a fumble. They had a big kickoff return. And so they really had horrible starting position that they had to defend against. So they gave up all those points, but the defense was good, man. They just got tired from being on the field the whole game.
Yeah, I'm not worried about them. And this week they're playing against the Ravens, who just lost their best offensive lineman for the year. Marshall Yanda, he's a perennial Pro Bowler. He's out for the year. It seems like it's all but a lock. And the Ravens, let's not pretend that they're, you know, lights out offense or anything like that. They're a matchup to target. But I do like, again, the Dolphins and the Bucs. Those are two solid options. I just think that the Jaguars are a team that you could probably hang on throughout the year and play them in a lot of different matchups. I think they're a better defense than people realize.
If you look at the Jags schedule too, they play the Jets next week. Isn't that exciting? They have a tough matchup against Pittsburgh after that, but then the Rams, the Colts, we don't know if Andrew Luck will be back at that point. So some good matchups coming up for them.
Good eye, Justin. Guys, before we close this out, we have a little bit of extra time, and I was hoping this would happen because I want to talk about some rest of the season rankings, like kind of some implications from what's happened over the first 2 weeks. Ty Montgomery, guys, was drafted as what, the number 15, 17 running back, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I think he might be a top six running back for the rest of the season. What do you think, Justin?
Totally agree. Totally agree. Got him a few places, and I'm very excited to own him. The only worry going into the season with him, well, there were two. The worry that, you know, his pass protection might suffer and they might turn to Jamal Williams, who's a little bit better at that, or that he would get hurt. Now, pass protection seems fine. You know, there's a lot of people have been talking about that. He's doing really well in that area. He's getting a ton of playing time, and he's doing it with his legs and through the air. So
yeah.
There is still going to be the worry going forward that, you know, he's going to get hurt, but that's there with every running back. And right now he looks unbelievably durable. He's getting goal line carries. He's a guy that has number one running back upside the rest of the way overall. Even, you know, it helps having David Johnson, a little less competition for that, for the crown there, but certainly a top five fantasy running back moving forward.
I've got Bell, one number one, Elliott number two, Freeman number three, and then the next three, it's really close. I got Montgomery, Kareem Hunt, and Leonard Fournette.
Wow. Yeah, well, Montgomery, I have at number six, right behind Melvin Gordon. It's really close there. But I would argue that I think it'd be better for Montgomery if they started sharing some of the snaps, because I think he's playing too much. And I know that that's what we desire in fantasy football, but a guy that maybe not as durable as some of the bigger running backs, that's my concern with him. And he's playing so many snaps. He's only coming out when they really, really, when he needs a rest. He actually pulled himself out of the game in both times that he came off the field over the last couple weeks. So I would definitely take Kareem Hunt over him. Kareem Hunt, man, he's the real deal.
Yeah, he's good, man.
I said it before the season that you were drafting an Andy Reid running back as much as you were drafting Kareem Hunt, but Hunt is living up to it on his own end, and he's playing better than I thought he would. I thought he was solid, but I thought Andy Reid's offense would make an RB1, but now I'm tempted to put him over LeSean McCoy, because McCoy's already dealing with some nicks after just 2 weeks of football. The Buffalo Bills are awful. And, you know, it's just you try and stay away from bad offenses, and the Bills are just that.
And if the Bills start losing, I'm very confident that McCoy is going to decide to maybe call it a season a little early this year. I don't think there's going to be reason for him to play through the bumps and bruises. If you're not challenging for a playoff spot at this point in his career, I just don't think that he's going to fight through some of that stuff later in the season. And that's no offense to McCoy, but we'll see. The Bills' schedule is going to continue to get tougher here. You know, they got lucky with that matchup against the Jets in week one. But going forward, there's going to be some losses and things aren't going to be great as the season goes on, and I say that as a Bills fan, so take that for what you will. And going back to Montgomery though, and why he should be high, you know, we talked before about Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb. If those guys happen to be out, of course, you know, Allison could step up, but it could mean even more passing work for Montgomery. So a lot of reasons to be excited about him.
What do you guys think about Buck Allen? He was incredible again.
That's crazy, because I was actually trying to bring him up before we got out of here, because I wanted to say that he has outsnapped Terrence West 76-43. He's also outtouched Terrence West 40-29, and he's outplaying him. The only thing that Terrence West is getting is goal line carries, and that matters, obviously, you know, but at the same time, losing Yanda off that offensive line, they're not going to have as many goal line opportunities that are going to look as clean as they have for Terrence West. So Buck Allen, yeah, buddy, like seriously, he's an RB3 every single week, and I think you could even consider him an RB2 in PPR formats, because he's game script proof. Because if they're winning, we've seen that the last 2 weeks, he's got a role in the offense. If they're losing, he's going to be used in the passing game. He's already caught 5 passes this year. They haven't even needed to throw the ball very much. So, yes, Buck Allen.
Yeah, I mean, he's not an elite talent, but he's the clear passing back there in an offense that went out and got Danny Woodhead and set themselves up and basically designed everything to use Woodhead quite a bit. And now he's just, you know, Allen's just falling into that role. So, you know, outproducing West, that's not a high bar to pass.
Right.
Just isn't a good running back, right? He's going to get what's given, but he's not going to get much more than that. So I feel bad for anybody who, you know, spent money to go get Kerwin Williams or someone over Allen last week and didn't take at least the advice I was giving. I imagine you guys too. Kerwin Williams, you know, tough week for him, and it looks like he's going to be pretty much
against
worthless
the Colts
going forward. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I think, you know, Buck Allen, he might come back to earth a little bit in a tough matchup against the Jags this week, and as you guys mentioned, with Yanda out, that changes things a little bit, but he's still very, very much usable in fantasy, and a guy that you can plug into your lineup pretty much every week now.
So who would you rather have, Amir Abdullah, Tevin Coleman, or a Buck Allen?
For me, it goes back to that question of what do you want? Do you need someone right now who is going to play and plug into your lineup immediately? In that case, I'm probably going to take Allen, actually, of everybody. And I think, you know, tonight we're going to see if Abdullah can do anything in a really tough matchup, but he's splitting carries. You know, it's going to be really tough for him to get to the point that we all, I think, know that he could get to, which is, you know, he could put up running back one numbers if he had the opportunity, if he was alone in a backfield or something. But it really seems like they're going to work in Dwayne Washington, which they have so far, and that, you know, Theo Riddick isn't going anywhere. So, you know, if I'm looking at pure upside, then give me Tevin Coleman, because if Devonta Freeman ever gets sidelined, Coleman has that Derrick Henry kind of league winning upside.
So there's one more question I want to ask, and it's about Sam Bradford's injury. Case Keenum, you've watched him play football. He's not very good. So what I'm wondering is, if Bradford is going to be out, should we be selling Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen while their stocks are pretty high?
I didn't want to even talk about this. That's sad.
Yeah, it makes me sad, man.
No, it makes me so sad. Mike Zimmer was like the worst ever news update of all time. He comes out and he goes, guys, I'm sick of being asked about it. Sam Bradford is fine. And they said, they're like, what does that mean? He's like, you know, he might be out 1 week. He might be out 6 weeks. He's fine. And I'm like, what? It reminds me of the GIF where the dog is sitting there in the fire and he's saying, oh, this is fine.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, did you see Sam Bradford go out there on the field? He was going to see if he could play and he didn't even take dropbacks. He just started walking around. And he was like, oh, man, I can't play. Yeah, that is bad news.
It's definitely worrisome. I honestly thought that, you know, the downgrade to Keenum was, you know, it was going to be something, but I didn't think it was going to be as bad as what we saw. And the Steelers defense is a good defense. So that impacts it. If they get easier matchups, Keenum might be able to get them the ball a little bit more. But if Bradford is out, and we need to know, you know, we heard the reports that Teddy Bridgewater thinks he's going to, you know, be healthy enough to come back midseason. Wow. Then we really got to start looking at that. That came out Sunday morning, but we're really going to have to take that into consideration because, you know, if Bridgewater or other help, you know, the Vikings showed that they'd be willing to, you know, go out and trade for a quarterback to address the situation, which is what they did with Bradford. But if it's going to be Case Keenum going forward, I probably would look to start moving my Vikings players, at least Diggs and Thielen.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, that's all we have for the show. Justin, we really appreciate you coming on, man.
Yeah, it's a great time always with you guys. Hopefully next time there won't be quite as many injuries to discuss.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes, that'd be nice.
And for those of you listening at home, we've got two more shows coming up this week. We're going to do our ranking sit start episode, and then we're going to be doing our DFS episode that we do every single week. So make sure to tune in for those. Subscribe and review us on iTunes if you haven't already. And I also want to say thanks to the sponsors of today's show, Stamps.com and DraftKings.com. For Mike Tagliere, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening. And enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve slowly in a proof of your love. I don't even know how the chemistry works when your rules are kicking in the dirt, kicking in the sand, and stirring up trouble. I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge Podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge Podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.